the Lord.
Message number 216. The title of the message, Watchman, part 32. And in this message, we'll focus on leaders with Watchman characters and Watchman attitude. Before we go forward, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we bless you, we magnify your name. Oh God, I do pray in the name of Jesus that you will use this time for your glory, and the message, your message will be clear to your people, that every one of us will be a discerning person, focused on the target and the task that you entrust to each and every one of us to do. Lord, help us today to learn from the scriptures, to learn from the chosen passages that you had ordained for us to go through and study. Oh God, I pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the life of your church and your people. Anoint my lips, oh God, and arrange the message in the way that you want it to flow. And through it, oh God, I pray the impartation of faith, understanding, wisdom, characters, attitudes, anointing of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, discernment, oh God, and distinguishing between spirit that your church and your people need. We thank you and we bless you, O Lord. I pray, Lord, that you use this message to raise up watchmen and women who are dedicated to do faithfully and with success the task entrusted to them. That's all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The first event that we will tackle is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, and verse 18 to verse 28. Here we speak about Jehu, and we know that Jehu is one of the king of Israel that God had raised up for a purpose. Jehu was raised up by God in order to destroy Baal worship in Israel. We know that Baal worship was started by the wicked king Ahab. And here the Lord raised up Jehu to destroy the family of Ahab and ultimately to destroy Baal worship and remove it from Israel. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 18 to 28, we know the event that when Jehu wanted to destroy Baal worshippers and started to destroy the ministers, the false prophets of Baal. And he gathered them in one place, and he was so wise, he told them, you come, and as if he was calling them for a meeting to honor Baal, but he was calling them to put an end to their ministry and life that was unpleasant to the Lord. I am not saying that Jehu was a good king. Jehu, he did good things, but also he disobeyed God, and he continued to go on in the way of Jeroboam, and he continued to lead the people in the sin of Jeroboam. But in regard to this event of destroying Baal worship in Israel, Jehu was really a watchman with the characters that we can learn from. We can read in the book of 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 19, when Jehu called all the prophets of Baal, he told them, but he said, now summon all the prophets of Baal, all his ministers and all his priests, see that no one is missing, because I am going to hold a great sacrifice for Baal. Anyone who fails to come will no longer live. But Jehu was acting deceptively in order to destroy the minister of Baal. You know, the true watchman what we learn from this event, when he say, see that no one is missing, the true watchman will not spare any false prophet. Jehovah was very keen not to allow any of the false and wicked prophet of Baal to escape from God's judgment. The leaders, and all of you leaders, should be very aware, and we should be very aware and not to give permission or approval to sin and to those who promote sin inside the body of Christ through their false teaching and their false doctrines. We reminded also with King David and what he say in Psalm 101. Psalm 101 verse 4 to verse 8, we learn good things about that. David, he commit himself to the Lord that he will not allow false prophet or man with a wrong teaching or man with a perverse heart to minister. Psalm 101 verse 4 say, men of perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with them. I have nothing to do with evil. Verse 5. Moreover, whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure. Verse 7. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. That was the stand of King David, that he will not allow evil people to minister or to do ministry or to be under his care and under his protection. Also, Jehovah, when he took the leadership, he annihilated all the priests and false prophets and the ministers of Baal. The application for us about that today is that we should not approve ministers who their ways of life and their teaching will promote sin and wickedness inside the body of Christ. Such people should be silenced and asked to sit down, because their ministry will bring corruption. Amen. The message is so serious. Don't go with your emotion. Go with your mind and see. When you approve people who teach wrong, or their life is not right with God, and you put them in the front and let them lead and let them preach what they're going to preach, what they're going to teach, but rebelliousness and wickedness. From also that event, that when and King Jehu gathered the ministers of Baal to annihilate them and to destroy all of them. In verse 23, we can read the following. Then Jehu and Jehonadab, son of Rechab, went into the temple of Baal. Jehu said to the ministers of Baal, look around and see that no servants of the Lord are here with you, only ministers of Baal. What we learn from here, from Jehu and from this verse, that the watchman will preserve the true ministers. Jehu was saying that I don't want any true minister of the Lord will be there. He want to spare the true ministers of God. Jehu wanted to be sure in his judgment against Baal minister that he will not include any of the true servant of the Lord and finish his life. What is the application of this for us today? That we need to find out the reliable men who are able to teach others and welcome them to serve the Lord with us. We need to find out who are a reliable man, even among many corruption that is going on now in the body of Christ and teachers and workers and pastors, still we need not to judge them all, but we need to find out who are the true workers, the reliable man, the person who is approved by the Lord. We need to welcome them to serve the Lord with us. And let us also follow the example of David and what he said in Psalm 101 verse 6. He said, my eyes, and hear the watchman, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. David was also a good watchman. He said, my eyes not on the wicked in the land. I will look on the faithful in the land, and him will live with me, and those who are blameless, they will minister to me. They will serve the Lord with me. I will allow them to stand, and I will allow them also to teach. The next character that we tackle, we spoke about Jehu, and we get part of the stand of David about how to annihilate and remove false teachers and how to preserve the true servant of the Lord. We will get part of the life of King Josiah, and we know that King Josiah of Judah, he was young when he became king. In his childhood he became king, and he seeked the Lord, and he was born according to a prophecy, and he fulfilled the prophecy that was spoken about him, and he did really serve the Lord, and he mobilized all Judah and all the leaders and the priests of Judah and the family heads and the people. He mobilized them all to remove all idol worships, and he cleansed the temple and all the cities of Judah, and he extend reach even Samaria. And we can read the whole campaign of King Josiah, how he removed idols and Asherah poles and destroyed the Kidron Valley, that where they were sacrificing their children. You can read that in book of 2 Kings chapter 23 verse 1 to 20. He make a very big campaign against the idol worship that was prevalent during the time that the Lord raised him up to rule Judah and to rule Jerusalem and Judea, and he could stand in his leadership and his campaign of cleansing from idol worship into Samaria. King Josiah, he was leading a great campaign, and he reached there Samaria, and he demolished Asherah pole and the idols, and he opened the tombs of the dead people in Samaria and burned their bones on the altar that was there. That altar was made by King Jeroboam, and if you read the book of First Kings chapter 13 verse 1 to 2, we can read the prophecy about Josiah, and we can read also that he will be the one to burn the bones of dead people who worship idols on that altar to defile it. 2 Kings chapter 13 verse 1 and 2 say, by the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering, he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says, a son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offering here, and human bones will be burned on you. And that's truly what King Josiah did when he reached Samaria. If you will read in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 1 to 20, the full details of what he did. For example, we can read verse 13, what he did in Samaria. Let's read verse 15 and 16. Even the altar of Bethel, the high place made by Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused Israel to sin, even that altar and high place he demolished. He burned the high place and ground it to powder, and burned the Asherah pole also. Verse 16, then Josiah looked around, and when he saw the tombs that were there on the hillside, he had the bones removed from them and burned on the altar to defile it, in accordance with the word of the Lord proclaimed by the man of God who foretold these things. So here Josiah did exactly the things that God had ordained for him to do. But speaking about Josiah as a watchman, Josiah was able to distinguish and see certain things others could not see or could not recognize, or they were not aware of. You know, the man of God that he prophesied about the birth of Josiah and what he's going to do, if you will read his story in the book of 1 Kings and chapter 13, you can read from verse 1 to verse 32 the whole story of that man. We will discover that after he prophesied, he died, and he was buried in a tomb in Samaria. But we know also that his prophecy come true, and Josiah, he reached the place that where the tombs of the false prophets and false priests and those who are leading idol worship, he reached their tombs, he took their bones and he burned them on the altar that Jeroboam built to defile that altar. And if we read the book of 2 Kings chapter 23, where we stopped just now in verse 17, we will read that the king asked, what is that tombstone I see? There was many tombstones, but he was able to see one tombstone. The men of the city said, it marks the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and pronounced against the altar of Bethel the very things you have done to it. See here, the watchman is anointed with the Holy Spirit, that out of all the tombstones, he was able to recognize there is something different. And even maybe Josiah, he is aware of that prophecy, or maybe he is not aware, or maybe he even went to that place not in his mind, that he will spare one tomb of that man of God. But the watchman, he has the anointing of the Holy Spirit to discern the things that others are not able to discern. You say, was a discerning watchman who was able to see the tomb of that righteous true prophet, that he need to be spared. He truly was very tactful in his campaign. And if we read verse 18, see, we can read that when he come to know that he is the man who prophesied exactly about him, and exactly that what he did, I mean Josiah had been prophesied by that man of God whom his tomb is there. What King Josiah said, verse 18, 2 King chapter 23, verse 18, he said, leave it alone, he said, don't let anyone disturb his bones. So they spared his bones and those of the prophet who had come from Samaria. So Josiah was really a discerning watchman who spared as well the bones of the true prophet who are from Samaria. So not only the prophet who came from Judah was spared, his tomb was spared, but the true prophet who buried that prophet who came from Judea, his bones and his tomb was also spirit. You know what we learn from this story. You know, at this time where corruption and wickedness and modern idol worship affecting the body of Christ, still you need and we need to be very tactful and discerning to identify good and righteous things in order to preserve them and work it out with them and with the Lord to do the good things that God had ordained for them and for us to do together for His glory and for His name to be glorified. So truly we are learning from those leaders with watchman characters. You know, certain time maybe in front of you certain events and you find yourself that you are not able to overlook it. Just wait, ask God to reveal to you what is hidden there. It might be God had called you to be discerning, and He will show you certain things in order for you to do certain tactful things that God wants to do. At that point that the King Josiah was moving forward to achieve the will of the Lord, the Holy Spirit stopped him at that tomb of that true prophet, because his bone should be spared from destruction, because he was a righteous man and he need to be distinguished and he need to be spared in order that people will take heed that righteousness will be rewarded by the Lord and wickedness will be punished and will be utterly destroyed. We learn from the events that we are studying from the scriptures. The next leader that we will going to study is Jacob. And Jacob, we know that he was working with Laban, his uncle, and we can read, as we read Genesis chapter 31 and verse 1 to verse 13, we can learn from that event when Jacob noticed that the attitude of his uncle and his father-in-law had been changed toward him. Jacob was the husband of Rachel and Leah, the daughters of Laban, and more accurately, Leah and Rachel, because Leah it was God's will and ordained for the Lord for him to marry, but he insisted his own and he got also his sister. The point here is two wives, they did not notice the change of attitude of their father, but Jacob as a watchman, he noticed the changing of the attitude of his father-in-law toward him. Genesis chapter 31 verse 2, and Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. And verse 5, he said to them, he said to Leah and Rachel, I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before. So he noticed the change of the attitude. But the God of my father has been with me. Jacob, when he was able to notice the change of attitude from Laban's side, then he was prepared to recognize the voice of God who told him finally and who finally instructed him to leave and go back to his native land. In verse 13, the Lord spoke to him what he needed to do after Jacob discerned the change of the attitude of Laban, his father-in-law. He said it also to Leah and Rachel. He made them aware, the whole family of Jacob were aware. Then they are prepared. And God spoke to him. In verse 13, the Lord spoke to Jacob, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. See here, the watchman character and attitude of Jacob was very needed, because he was prepared that Laban's attitude had been changed. He also said to his two wives and he told them how much he suffered, and they agree with him. So the atmosphere was very, very ready, and they were just waiting upon God to give them the go signal to go forward and go back to their native land, to where God had called them to move. See here, as a leader, if he would not discern the changing of the attitude, he would not prepare his family. But he discerned, he saw it, and he prepared his family. So when God told him to move, all of them, not only Jacob, were ready and were glad to go forward. The message is for us concise and precise. We need to be leaders with a discerning and watchman characters and attitudes, so that we can grasp precisely what God wants us to do and be prepared for the next task that God delegated, going to delegate to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We bless you. Thank you for your word that you sent to us to bring revival, to give us and impart to us understanding and wisdom that comes from you. I pray, O God, I pray for discernment for each and every one who listen to this word of yours. Change them, O Lord. Change your church. Change us, all of us, all the workers in your vineyard, that we will be a people different and distinguished with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you give us, in order to serve you mightily, precisely, and effectively in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished, and you receive the fruit that you desire to see in our lives and the life of your church and your people. I pray for everyone who pray from his heart and whose wholehearted dedicate himself for this task. Oh God, use him mightily and raise him as a leader with a watchman characters. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.